الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى وبعد. والله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. سبحانك وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. الحمد لله. All praise is due to Allah سبحانه وتعالى, who has given us many, many bounties. And of the many bounties, He has placed the signs for us to recognize Him. Amongst those signs is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the earth habitable for us. You know, the gravitational force on earth, had it changed by 1 times by 10 to the power of minus 36, so 0 point, add 35 zeros, then a 1 at the end. If it changed by that amount, then the planet size would reduce by billions, because of which life would no longer be able to continue. Just by that small figure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another thing that is placed in the universe, the cosmic order. That the earth is in something known as the habitable zone. Meaning, it's in the region where its distance from the sun provides a certain planetary surface temperature. The surface temperature of the earth is such that the oceans neither burn nor do they freeze. So if we were to be any closer to the sun, then it would be too hot to host life. Any further from the sun, slightly further from the sun, it would be too cold to host life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, discussing the cosmic order, discussing the entire universe and His bounties within, mentions, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ ضِيَاءً وَالْقَمَرَ نُورًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has made the sun a light. Now the word ضياء includes heat. So the sun includes heat. The word, the Arabic, the trying to show the balagha, the rhetoric of the Qur'an. هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ ضِيَاءً. He has made the sun a light. وَالْقَمْرَ نُورًا. And the moon a nur, which does not include heat. Nur does not include heat. وَقَدَّرَهُ manazil. And He has given it, He has situated it at certain points. He's given it destinations. Now it's through these destinations that the earth orbits the sun, and the moon orbits the earth, because of which every 29 or 30 days we see the lunar month, or we see the next lunar month, and because of which through that we have the Islamic calendar. Meaning, as with last 2 months that Mufti Afif was discussing, the importance of our Islamic calendar, and it's based on the lunar calendar of the moon orbiting the earth. Now, generally speaking, of all the remaining months of the year, other than maybe Dhul-Hijjah, we don't find talks dedicated other than Ramadan. Ramadan being a special month, a month that, well, fasting within the month, but a month wherein the Qur'an was revealed, one, the beginning of revelation. Number two, of the four other scriptures, the holy scriptures, they were also revealed within this month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Ramadan as شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan is the month in which the Qur'an was revealed. Meaning من لوح المحفوظ, from the protected tablet. أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. The Qur'an being a guidance and clear signs and proof for mankind. It being the differentiator. Now, as I mentioned, that throughout the other months we don't find talks dedicated other than the month of Ramadan. Any other serious event that there generally is, it takes months of planning, months of preparation. You've got a wedding upcoming, months before planning would begin. You know, people go, they'll buy their suits, whatever they need to buy, their clothing, look at the halls that they need to hire, months before preparation begin, to ensure that, you know, that it goes smoothly. Logistically, everything is fine. Similarly, in the month of Ramadan, a month wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at how this month is described. إِذَا دَخَلَ رَمَضَانَ فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. When the month of Ramadan enters, the doors of Jannah are open. Metaphorically to mean that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending. وَيُغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ. And the doors of Jahannam are closed. Meaning it's just mercy upon mercy. And to not doesn't end at just the mercy descending, an opportunity for us to connect. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also creates that environment for us, wherein the narration mentions, وَصُفِدَتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ. And the shayateen, the devils are chained. One narration mentions that the rebellious, مَرَدَتُ الشَّيَاطِينَ, the rebellious devils are chained. Now you can think to yourself, you can understand that, look, the month of Ramadan by definition, comes from the word Ramad, which means to burn. By definition, it means to burn. It's an opportunity for us to burn, to purge away our sins and our bad habits. Imagine this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the rebellious shayateen are chained. But despite that, we find it difficult. We still find it difficult in the month of Ramadan. It takes a while for us to acclimate, for us to, you know, maximize benefit in the month of Ramadan. We find it difficult. Imagine this. You know, for 11 months of the year, shaitan has worked on us. He's worked on our nafs, he's worked on us. That effect will still remain. You know, you always have residue. You can have the heating running for about... You've come home, you know, you got from a long trip, from a long journey, you caught a flight on the way home, and you decide that about 2-3 hours before you enter the house is on 7 degrees, you decide to switch it up to 20. It's going to take several hours before the house gets warm. Several hours. So you don't just switch it on 2 hours before you reach your house, you'll switch it on the day before to make sure when you reach home, it's at 20 degrees. Similarly with the month of Ramadan, it takes effort before. Now that's why we had the 5 weeks, 6 weeks planning the series, the Road to Ramadan series that we had in preparation of Ramadan. Now, if you want to maximize benefit in the month of Ramadan, it's not just about making effort just to do good actions. It's also about refraining from sins. The month of Ramadan, think of it as our servicing, our opportunity to recalibrate our lives. You send your car annually, every 12 months, for an MOT service. You've not checked the brake fluid, you've not checked the oil and water in the car. They'll check it all for you to make sure your car is roadworthy. This is our 1 month to recalibrate our lives, wherein even the permissible becomes impermissible. Eating, drinking, and engaging in our sensual permissible desires become impermissible. What's the outcome? Why do we fast? Number one, it's because we are submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything we do is out of pure submission. Everything else is secondary, meaning the discipline, etc. is all secondary. Primarily, we do things because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us, and that is our submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to a higher power, to our higher being. That's our purpose, our meaning. Yet, what's the outcome of fasting? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that we adopt taqwa. What is taqwa? Taqwa is God consciousness. What that is that it's a constant connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a perpetual connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in every given moment, we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm about to commit something. I recognize and immediately remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is built. Now, what's the relationship between this and fasting? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So you develop taqwa in the context of fasting. The ulama mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, أَصَوْمُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that fasting is for me, and I'm going to give its reward. Meaning every action is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are sincere, we have ikhlas in our ibadat, in our actions in general, and all our actions are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights and mentions as-sawmu li, that fasting is for me, and I'm going to give its recompense. So the hadith goes on to mention that all of the actions that we do, our actions are multiplied by 10 ila sab'i mi'at adha'af, up to 700 times, our actions are multiplied. But the reward of fasting, the angels do not know. The reward of fasting has been reserved only for the Akhirah. Also in the hadith mentioned, لِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانَ, that a fasting individual has two joys. عِنْدَ فِطْرِ وَعِنْدَ لِقَاءِ رَبِّهِ, at the time when he opens his fast, meaning the minor Eid is when you actually open your fast every day at iftar time, at maghrib time, where you're actually looking forward to the last few minutes. Or number two, Eid day. But the second one is وَعِنْدَ لِقَاءِ رَبِّهِ, when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. Meaning the reward which we do not know, the angels do not know, and we will see in the hereafter, that will be our joy when we see that reward. But going back to that part of الصَّوْمُ لِي, Allah mentions that fasting is for me. One thing that in fasting, that riya or ostentation, meaning showing off, doesn't enter. One of my classmates, when our teacher mentioned this commentary, he asked that, how does showing off, meaning how does sincerity, the highlight or is signified, or something significant within fasting? How is that, where is the relationship? Because in every other action, he said, you don't eat, you don't drink, and you don't engage in your sensual desires for the complete duration of your fast. Now yes, when somebody else is there, you can fast. when nobody else is there, is fima baynaka wa bayna Allah, only between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody else knows, it takes sincerity for you to be able to continue that fast. That's how your sincerity is being developed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, as-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bih, that fasting is reserved for me and I'm going to give its recompense. Now, how do we maximize benefit? The ulama mentioned that one thing is fasting, and you can fulfill the ruling of fasting by refraining from eating, drinking, and fulfilling your sensual desires. That's what we can do. Our fast will be complete. But if you want the spirituality gained, if you want the meaningful change from Ramadan, that my life changes. Our hope from Ramadan is that our life changes. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, this is something like perturbing, it should frighten each one of us, that رُبَّ صَائِمِ لَيْسِ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ. There are many individuals that fast, but they gain nothing from their fast except hunger. There are many individuals, رُبَّ قَائِمِ لَيْسِ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهْرِ. There are many people that stand at night in their tarawih, but they gain nothing but tiredness. Meaning, we're not engaging in our ibadat. We're fulfilling the fast of not eating, drinking, and fulfilling our sensual desires, not doing any of those. But fasting is much beyond that. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu mentions, إِذَا صُمْتَ فَلْيَصُمْ بَصَرُكَ وَلِسَانُكَ. When you fast, ensure that your sight fasts. Ensure that وَسَمْعُكَ. Ensure that your hearing fasts. Ensure that your tongue fasts. Meaning, you're not seeing that which is impermissible. You're not listening to that which is impermissible. You're not saying that which is impermissible. One narration mentions, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورُ وَلَعَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسِ لِي حَاجَةً فِي أَنْ يَدَعْ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ وَشَهْوَتَهُ. That the person who doesn't leave evil speech, he's backbiting, slandering, swearing, etc. وَلَعَمَلَ بِهِ, and acting upon these, Allah has no need of his fasts in terms of his leaving his food, drink, and sensual desires. Meaning, he would have fulfilled the fast, the ruling would have been done, but that spirituality or the meaningful change that Ramadan was supposed to be fulfilled, we're not fulfilling that. Ramadan is supposed to be fulfilling. And at the end of that narration of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he mentions, لَا تَجْعَلْ صَوْمَكَ وَفِطْرَكَ سَوَاءَ. Do not make the fasting day and your non-fasting day the same. Meaning, there should be a difference. While we fast, we exert ourselves. We will be hungry, we will be thirsty, we'll have to curb our desires. But in curbing those desires, those bestial, those animalistic tendencies, by controlling them, a person has an opportunity to maximize his connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what Ramadan is. And during the last 4 or 5 weeks, I mentioned that we went through a few topics. First one I went through was on muhasabah, was on accountability. It begins with reflection. We need to begin and recognize within ourselves that what do I have wrong in my life that I need to stop? Remember, if we're going to continue being egotistical or individualistic, where we just think about me, myself and I, and we don't recognize any of our actions to be wrong, we don't take ourselves to account, it's very unlikely that we're going to change. It always begins with humility. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was once walking, and as soon as he said something to one sahabi radiallahu anhu, to Rabia if I'm not mistaken, he said something to him, and as soon as he said it, he immediately said to the sahabi, say those words back to me. He said something wrong. He said, as soon as he said it, he said, say those words back to me. And the sahabi refused. He said, no, I'm not going to say these words back. And he said, and eventually the matter went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the sahabi, you were right not to say it back, but he could have said, oh Abu Bakr, I forgive you for the sake of Allah. But look at that, look at his taqwa. As soon as he said it, he doesn't let his ego take over. He has a humility, immediate reflection to recognize that I've done something wrong, and the humility to say, please say that back to me. I want my account clear in this lifetime, nothing in the hereafter. That takes reflection, that takes humility, that is muhasabah. We take ourselves to account. That was the first one I mentioned. Number two, the week after, we talked about repentance and the resistance. That tawbah, we know about tawbah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet we find it difficult to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We talked about the impediments. What are the things that prevent us from doing tawbah? And address those things. The tawbah, there are four elements to it. Number one, expressing remorse, 4 R's. Number one, remorse. Number two, repent, tawbah itself, astaghfirullah. Number three, third R, resolve, meaning resolution. And number four, repair, meaning if you've committed any wrong, you go and repair, you go and with the individual reparation. Then we discussed Sha'ban, the month of Sha'ban, how it's a prelude to the month of Ramadan. 15th of Sha'ban, just a talk before I gave, was on how to maximize benefit on auspicious nights. That can be applied throughout the entire month of Ramadan, particularly Laylatul Qadr. And last week I mentioned about time management. It will take time to create a timetable, but if we don't, time will pass by, and if you don't spend your time doing the right things, naturally you may spend your time doing the wrong things. It's just a natural consequence. Create a timetable, create a to-do list at the very minimum. I'm going to target that. If I can't do one juz a day, half a juz. If I can't do half a juz, maybe quarter juz. If my tajweed is not up to scratch, I'm going to sit with my local scholar and ask him, that can you arrange some lessons that I can improve my tajweed? If you join the reminders group, I'll send certain playlists of the Qur'an in 30 days. Qur'an 30 in 30, wherein the month of Ramadan is the month of the Qur'an. It's a shame if the month passes by and we've not engaged with understanding what the message of the Qur'an is. I'll send a playlist of the Qur'an, meaning one juz a day, and summaries of each juz, so you can understand what's going to be read in Tarawih. I'll send on the reminder group. If you join the reminders group, I'll send it on there, inshallah. Tahajjud every night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks three questions every night. مَنْ يَدْعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ مَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُنِي فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي فَأَعْطِيَهُ. Every night, at the last portion of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy descends and He asks, مَنْ يَدْعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ. Who is going to call me so I can answer him? مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي فَأُعْطِيَهُ. Who is going to ask of me so I can give to him? مَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُنِي فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ. Who is going to seek forgiveness from me so I can forgive him? Every one of these three. Remember, you can ask your spouses, you can ask your family, but sometimes they won't understand you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. He understands our psychological construct. He understands us as individuals. If there's any being that understands it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's asking who's going to call me so I can answer him. If you want our calls to be heard and answered, which we want, every one of us wants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. We want forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. We want fulfillment in terms of our needs, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking, at the time of suhoor, engage in tahajjud and make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Ameen wa akhlu da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.